Brother Marvin is our speaker this morning, and I would ask that you might give very careful attention and that you would also remember him in your private prayers.
I would like to enlarge somewhat upon the words of Jesus Christ, and I think of the hymn we just sung concerning Jesus is mine, and we cannot underestimate the importance of the words of Jesus, and we know that of his own testimony, he came to do the will of a heavenly Father. And the words that Jesus taught were none other than the words of his heavenly Father. And I would like to read this morning from the 12th chapter of the book of John, and I would like to read 46 through 48. These are words that are nothing new to any of us, but I thought they were important to bring to our attention today. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." This shows the importance of each and every person believing in Jesus Christ. And those who believe, and we know follow him, it says here, shall not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And we know this was his mission, that the world might have this salvation come to them. But we know in verse 48 there are some qualifying clauses. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And listen to this closely. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. By this reading, we can see the importance of keeping the words of God and Christ. They're vital in our independent lives. Because, as we read here, these words, one day we will give account for them. We will be judged by them. And a related reference in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, and verses 11 and 12 have this to say. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now we will not give account of some other person to God. We will each give account for our own individual self to God. And every tongue shall confess to God. Let's turn back again to this 12th chapter of the book of John, and I'd like to read the last two verses of that chapter, 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, and I want us to note this. He came here to do the will of the Heavenly Father. He came here to teach and to preach his words. And then it says, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. He outlined in detail what his Son should do. And Jesus Christ did this very thing. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So whatever the Father said to him, he spoke. Now this is only a part of the whole story today. Because Christ came here, set an example for you and I, kept the commandments of the Heavenly Father and taught them. He in turn left these commandments for you and I. and he intends that we apply these commandments to our individual lives. I would like to turn to 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, on page 163, and read some of the words of Nephi, because they too apply. And this is in verses 29 and 30. All of this chapter is excellent reading, but I've just chosen this amount. And Nephi said, "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." So he outlined for the believers in Jesus Christ, he outlined what they should do, that they must press forward and that they must have a steadfastness in Christ. And incidentally, the verse just before it said, "What brought you to the waters of baptism was the word of Christ." So we must not underestimate the importance of the words of Christ in our individual lives. And along with this steadfastness in Christ, we're admonished to have a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And in verse 30, "Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." This shows the importance of feasting or partaking fully of the word of Christ. And then it also says we must endure to the end. And then the promise of eternal life. We skip into the next chapter, and a lot of these verses are verses that you hear time and time again, and I have used them. But I wanted to tie their importance to our individual lives this new year of the responsibility that is each one of ours, and that is to feast upon the words of Christ. And as in verse 4 it says here, "Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do." So the answer to our needs are in the words of Christ, for they will tell us all things what we should do. And we must not forget that in our various lives. And I'd like to turn over to the 16th chapter of the book of Alma on page 423. And again, this is one that various ones of your ministry have used from time to time. And I would like to read, to start with, from verses 152 through 157. "Now we will compare the word unto a seed." And I want you to note that here. That is the word of God or the word of Jesus Christ, whatever you wish to say. They're none different. And he's going to compare it unto a seed. And we each know that a seed has all the things contained in it that is necessary for life. It has everything stored in it that will give the tree its own identity, or the plant its own identity. And each one is different, but yet this is, to me, I think one of the great mysteries of life, that you can go out and take this seed and it can grow into a plant. You can take this nut and it will grow into a great tree, or different types of fruit trees, and plant the seed and it will grow into a fruit tree. It's one of the mysteries of life, because here on the outside, one would little think that it would look like it would look when it was completed. And yet here is a thing that in this seed is a potential of life. And that I want to stress today. And he says, we will compare the word unto this seed. In the word of God, there is also the potential of life, even the potential of eternal life. Now, if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if ye do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. So if we allow that word to come into our heart and into our mind and to start functioning and growing, it will accomplish a goodly end. The same as the seed we plant in the soil, if it gets the moisture and the fertility and the light, it sprouts and begins to grow. And when you feel these swelling motions, that is the swelling motions of the Word of God in your life, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed. It's doing something to my life. You think this within your mind. Or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlarge my soul. It is even doing something to my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. It has given me an outlook on what is important in my life. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. In other words, something that is delicious, it's good, isn't it? We know that of food. There are certain foods that we say, man, that is delicious. We like it because the taste of it is something we enjoy. And so it is with the Word of God. If it begins to change your being, it is delicious to you. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? You've tried it thus far. This does increase your faith. You know that this is a real thing. I say unto you, yea. Nevertheless, it hath not grown up into a perfect knowledge. What you have went this far is not perfect knowledge. You have tried the Word of God, and it works in your life. But behold, as a seed swelleth, and that is the Word of God, and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, then ye must needs say, the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And again, this goes back and forth between the Word of God, which is compared to a seed, and the actual seed. He interlocks them in such a way that sometimes it's kind of hard to even separate. And it isn't important that we do separate, because he's tying this together to set an example to the people, to show if you plant the seed in the soil, and they knew what this does. They've watched this seed grow. And so it is with the Word of God. You plant it in your heart and you follow it, and it does some real things in your life. And so your heart and your faith increases. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith when you see this happening in your life? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for you will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. So we see here the importance of the Word of God and Christ in our life. Now I would like to skip down in this same reading to verse 164 and read on down through 169. And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now he's back to the seed that was planted and grew into a tree. And he says, let us nourish it with care, that it might bring forth fruit unto us. That is why we plant the wheat in the field. that it might give wheat to the sower and bread to the eater. That is why we do it. We have fruit trees and berry plants and other things of this nature. We plant that we might eat of the fruit of these plants and these trees. And it says if we take care of this tree or this plant or whatever it is, and we do it carefully, it will bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if you nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. That is a simple fact of life, a fact of nature, a fact of God, whatever you want to say. But note this, there is another side of this story in taking care of the fruit. And anybody who has grown fruit trees or plants or grain or corn or gardens, know this. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment. Now, if you do this, do you know what you wind up with? Well, let's read on. Behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withers away, and you pluck it up and cast it out. So you have to destroy this what you planted because you didn't take care of it. Well, let's read the next verse. Now, this is not because the seed was not good, because the seed was good. It did sprout. Neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable. Because you planted a fruit tree and you wanted to partake of the fruit of the tree. But if you don't take care of it, it withers away and dies. But this don't mean that the seed was not good, and neither does it mean that the fruit wouldn't have been desirable to partake of. Then if we go on to verse 168, but it is because your ground is barren. Now this is going back to our individual lives again. And ye will not nourish the tree, therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And as verse 169 explains that, and thus it is, if you will not nourish the word, see that ties it directly to the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, you can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. Now, did you hear what that said? If we don't take care of the words of God and Christ in our life and nourish them, we cannot partake of the fruit of the tree of life. I would just like to read a little side reference from the book of Proverbs. I think it kind of ties with this. And this is found in the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And it's found in verses 12 through 15. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. We just read about the tree of life here. If you don't take care of the word of God in your life, you cannot partake of the fruit of the tree of life. And here it says, hope deferred, or hope that is put off, makes the heart sick. But this has another side of the picture. But when the desire cometh, and that is the desire to serve God and to keep His words, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. So the words of Christ and God are important. We must not despise them, because there is a promise of being destroyed if we do. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Yes. Fears the commandments and follow them, rewarded with what? With eternal life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. That fountain of life, that is important in our lives. and it is to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor. And remember that. Good understanding of what? Of the words of Jesus Christ. They give favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's a tough thing when we follow other paths. It is hard. And don't forget that for one moment. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 57th chapter. And this will be found in verses 19 through 21. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. That peace can be those who follow the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, I will heal them, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. Those who follow the paths of sin, they're like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. And we know that in some of the storms, the sea just keeps coming inland and inland, and it never stops. It cannot rest. It is troubled. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So the way, as the writer of Proverbs said, the way of transgressors is hard. I would like to turn again to the 16th chapter of Alma on page 425 and read verses 170 and 171. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith. And now this is outlining how we take care of the words of God and the words of Christ in our life. We do it by our faith with great diligence. In other words, you're persistent in it. You continue in it. And with patience. And this is a thing that mankind needs in his walk of life is patience. And I guess there's none that don't need it. And some of us could do with maybe a lot more of it. Some people maybe have a natural patience. Some are very impatient creatures by nature and really have to work upon it to be patient. But it says here, you nourish the word with your faith, with great diligence, with patience, and it says, looking forward to the fruit thereof. And that is the fruit of the tree of life. It shall take root if you do this, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence, and this is an important part of it, we've got to be diligent in it, no matter how tough conditions are about us. It is a part of our life and must be a part. And your faith must be in the Scriptures. And you've heard me quote this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's in Hebrews 11 chapter and the 6th verse. So this faith is important in our life. And your patience with the word in nourishing it. You have to take care of the word of Christ in your life. You have to follow it, that it may take root in you. Behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious. Now I want you to note this here concerning this fruit of the tree of life. It says it is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, if you can picture this, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. That is the fruit of the tree of life. It's a precious fruit. And I want to turn to Lehi's vision. It's found in 1 Nephi, the second chapter, on page 20. And I want to read verses 49 through 53. And then I might touch upon maybe verse 62 as well. And in this rather marvelous vision, which both Lehi and Nephi saw, we read, "And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy." This tree that is spoken of here is the tree of life. And I want you to note this. Lehi said, "I beheld this tree, and the fruit thereof was desirable to make one happy." And there's a great quest in the world in which we live for happiness. And right it should be. There should be a desire of happiness in our life. But there are so many different paths that have been chosen to bring happiness to an individual person on a time of various circumstances or whatever it might be. And I want to enlarge a bit upon that, because many people have chosen different things to try to attain happiness. And here it talks about happiness. The fruit of this tree is desirable to make one happy. And the way you get to that tree, in verse 62 it tells us, is by grasping the rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God. And you walk along a straight and a narrow path, clinging to the Word of God, till you reach the tree of life. And I think of the testimony of Sister Willard, the last year she's alive, at a Phoenix reunion. She sat in a wheelchair. And I'll have to try to remember the words of this, but she was referencing this rather marvelous vision, and she says to us, "Don't turn loose of the rod of iron." And it could have even been other words, but it was similar to that. It was wise counsel. She is no longer here to tell us to cling to that rod of iron. She has departed this life. But we should not turn loose of the rod of iron, because it can bring us to this tree which is desirable to make one happy. And in this life, people choose. Some they choose different entertainments to make them happy. Some choose all manner of things, and a lot of them are sinful things that they think are happy. They follow immoral practice to try to make them happy. They think there's happy in different things of this nature. And yet, they bring sorrow into their life. Because the only true happiness is the way I'm picturing this day for each one of us to follow. And let's go on here. "And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof," Lehi did in this vision. "And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I've ever tasted. Yea, and I beheld the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I've ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof, and it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Now there is happiness, exceeding great joy. And man has tried all types of manners to achieve happiness, and unless it is founded upon the words of Jesus Christ, it will not bring true, lasting happiness. It might bring momentary happiness that will not last, but this will last. Wherefore I began, and note this, wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. And I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And don't forget that. Let's turn back again to page 425 in the Book of Mormon, and I would like to read verses 172 and 173. And if ye shall feast upon this fruit, the fruit of the tree of life, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, shall ye reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and your patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. And that fruit of that tree of life is everlasting life. And it is by, it says, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith. And sometimes people say, well, it just looks like it's so fruitless. It seems like nothing works out. Or look what's all that is happening to me. But it tells us here very plainly that we have to continue in faith and in diligence and in patience and in long suffering. And we still got to wait. Now that's, again, kind of contrary to man, but says, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. One day we shall reap the rewards of our faith if we will but cling to that rod of iron, the Word of God, and press forward, walking the straight and narrow path that can lead us to the tree of life. I would like to turn over here to another related reference from the teachings of Paul in Romans, the 5th chapter, and is found in the first 5 verses. And we have just spoken about the importance of faith in our individual lives. That's the way we pursue the Word of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and we're justified by faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so by this faith, we have access into this grace. And as one writer in the Book of Mormon says, after all we've done, it is by grace that we're saved. And I'd like to turn to the book of Titus and just read a related reference here. And this is in Titus, the 2nd chapter, and verses 11 through 14. And this concerns the grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This grace of God that brings us salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that is what is important. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. It is the lusts of the flesh that is helping to destroy the people upon the face of this earth today. And then it says what we should do. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And that is what Christ desires and God desires, a peculiar or a separate people who are zealous of good works. Going back again to Romans, the 5th chapter, and reading verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And I've just read about the faith and the patience that is necessary in us taking care of the Word of God in our individual life. And so it says right here, Paul said, we glory in these trials of this life because they work patience in our life. And we need it. And patience works experience in our life. This experience that helps us weather the storms of life, whatever they may be. We know that the things are real, that they can help us through trying moments and times. And experience works hope, a hope that one day we can be with God in Christ in eternity. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're not ashamed of the words of God if we have this hope in our individual lives. And it's important to have this love of God in our hearts. And in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He made it possible that if man would follow his words, they one day could be with him in eternity. They could even be with him in his throne, even as he is with God. And I feel that this is an important part of our individual lives. Let's turn to the book of Moroni, the seventh chapter, on page 767. Then I would like to start with about verse 45, because again, this speaks of hope, and it speaks of faith, and the things I brought out this day are tied and centered around this very fact. And let's start reading with verse 45. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that you can attain faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? So how are we going to attain a faith that's going to make it possible that we can really keep the words of Christ in our individual lives? And how can we attain this faith without this hope? And then he says, what do you hope for? 47th verse is the answer. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. Now that is hope, the promise of being raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. If we will but serve him, if we will but keep his commandments. And even as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And before we read on, there is just one other verse that I want to read from the 14th chapter of the book of John along that line. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And in verse 23 it goes on to say, if any man love me, he will keep my words. So you see how well these tie together? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. They can be there in your time of need, whatever it may be. Going back again to Moroni, yes, we have the promise through this resurrection of being raised into life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And we have heard this particular passage of Scripture read time and time again. It is nothing new to any one of us. But they tie together a hope of a resurrection, a faith that if we will follow God, we can have a part of that hope. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope is vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. Now this shows the type of people you and I should be. Meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And in the next verse, which I won't read at this time, which I could, but it tells of the attributes of charity. You can read similar ones in 1 Corinthians. And they're important that we understand this, but I just want to skip down to 52. Wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then we're admonished to pray with all the energy of heart that we might become filled with this love or this charity. And that we might, and he said he's bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I hope maybe today that I might have brought out a few things that might be pertinent to our individual lives, that might point us on a greater desire to follow the words of Jesus Christ and what they can do in our lives. It is a commandment of the Father and a commandment of the Son that we do keep his words. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And these words can do things in your life beyond our imagination or whatever you might say. They can strengthen us in our time of need, our time of trial, whatever it may be. And so let us not forget the importance of the words of Christ in our lives.
This evening at 7 o'clock we have preaching by Brother Marvin Carroll. Turn to number 279 for closing. 279. Shall we stand?